Glad to be with you this morning. My name is David Barron. I am, the official title is the Associate Executive Director of the Central Kentucky Network of Baptists. And that title is so long, I wasn't able to fit it on a business card. So, and it's ever changing. And so, as most of you all know, Brother David Stokes, he is our executive director. And so, let me first say, if I didn't say on behalf of the Central Kentucky Network of Baptists, greetings from Brother Stokes and myself. We're so glad that you all are part of us. He would fire me. And so we are grateful that you all are a part of our network and that you all partner with us together to do all kinds of wonderful things here in Central Kentucky. And I'll touch just on a couple of those things that are going on. Matter of fact, I'm dressed a little more casual than I am today. Than I normally am when I go speak at churches. And that's because when I get done here, I'm leaving, driving back to Georgetown, getting in a vehicle and driving 8 hours up into Pennsylvania, headed towards Staten Island in New York on a mission trip with one of our churches, actually a couple of our churches within the network. And so they're going up to support Willowbrook Baptist Church on Staten Island. That's one of four evangelical church, not Baptist churches. They may be the only Baptist church, but only one of four evangelical churches for 500,000 people. And so we are going up there to support them for VBS. And so we're going to evangelize during the day. We're going to help them do some painting around their property. And then at nighttime, we'll be welcoming kids from the community to come in and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited to go spend a week up there. And so normally, I'm a little more dressed up, but today I took advantage. And since I'm going to ride in this for the next 8 hours, I thought I'd be a little more comfortable while I was preaching this morning. And so that's just one of the things that's happening. We have a church planter here that's in Central Kentucky, in Lexington. His name is Kum Hazul. Kum is from Manipur, India, and he is trying to reach people from India in Lexington. There's over 3,000 Indians in Lexington with no major congregation or denomination really reaching them other than the Hindu religion in Lexington. And so he's trying to plant a church in Lexington called Cross Culture Church. And so he wants to have a cross culture, a culture of people, but yet a culture of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so that is going on. Our Irish Town ministries are doing well down on Perry Street. We have all kinds of things. We're engaged with churches, with our Barnabas team that are helping churches, whether they're growing and trying to figure out what space they need to be working on, or whether they're just in a season of renewal and refreshment, then what are the next steps they need to take in that? And so we have six churches that meet weekly to go through a 40-week revitalization process with us. And so all of that is only possible because of your partnership and the partnerships of the churches that we have around. So let me just say thank you for being a part of the Central Kentucky Network of Baptists. I am a homegrown Kentucky boy. I have been in Georgetown nearly my entire life. My accent says a little different, but I have family deep ties in Georgetown. My wife is from there. I've been married to my wife, Natalie Barron, for 22 years now. It was this past June 8th. And so we have three boys that are 15, 13, and 11. They keep us quite busy. Matter of fact, my 13-year-old is getting in the car with me and going on that mission trip. In September, my 15-year-old is getting on a plane with me and going to Mexico on a mission trip. And so I'm excited about that. Be praying for that as our family. But we grew up here. We love it here. We are grateful to be serving here in Central Kentucky. And so we are blessed to be Kentucky people. I've been in Bourbon County in Paris my whole life. I had family that live over this way. And so it's always been a special place for us. We are in 1 Peter today. We're going to be in 1 Peter Chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 12 all together this morning. And so let me read that for us this morning. Then I'll have a short prayer and then we'll get right into the sermon. And starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, it is if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. So that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your glorious word that you have preserved for us throughout all history. Father, the truth of the gospel, the truth of your word, the inerrancy that it has, Father, the role that it plays in our life. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we go through this time of worship, Lord, sitting under the word, Lord, that you are glorified, that your name is lifted high, Father, that we see the hope of salvation, and Lord, that we do say, to God be the glory for the great things that you have done. For you are worthy to be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I recently just got back from my family vacation. A couple weeks ago, I took my wife and kids, and we went for a week-long vacation down to the glorious place of Hilton Head Island. Anybody like to go to Hilton Head Island? It is one of my favorite places to vacation. We had not been there in about 5 or 6 years. We, for various reasons, weren't able to get there. Obviously, COVID had some to do with that. And finally, our kids said, Dad, when can we go back to Hilton Head? And so we went back down there for a week of sun and surf. And while we were there, one of the things I love to do on vacation, I love to go to church. Most of the time, people think that if you pastor on Sunday and if you preach every Sunday, that when you get a Sunday off, that you just sit on the beach and do nothing. And I tell people, vacations are from work, not from worship. And so I love to go to worship service to sit and be amongst the congregation, to just be there and be a part. And while I was there, the pastor said that he had just recently had a staff meeting with all of his staff. And they were sitting outside in the church parking lot under the palm trees, listening to the waves crash. They're about 200 yards off the Atlantic beach. And he said, folks, sometimes life is just not fair. A little tongue in cheek. He said, it's just so hard to suffer for Jesus in a place as certainly like this. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, when I was there in 2018, their previous pastor, I was actually there on the last Sunday their previous pastor was preaching. He was retiring. I looked at my wife. I had been about a year at my current church at that point. I looked at her. I said, you think God's calling us to Hilton Head? I mean, it might be a sign here. But we knew God wasn't calling us there. And so we stayed here in Kentucky and continued to serve. And obviously, you know, not all of us get to suffer for Christ on an island paradise. But life is hard. There are certainly times when we go through seasons of our life, and there are certainly times that are hard no matter what the setting may be around us, whether we're on an island with the tropical weather and the palm trees and the ocean waves, or whether we're out in the desert somewhere. There are times in our life that life is hard. There are times when it doesn't matter where we're at, when we get news about how a loved one has passed away. Or maybe we get a phone call from a doctor that says they give us a terrible prognosis that we may have cancer, or we may have suffered a heart attack or a stroke. There are certainly times when people will treat us harshly because of our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I got to hear Jamie Dews, who is the president of the New Orleans Theological Baptist Seminary, and I heard him speak a couple of years ago, and he said this. He said, we're reaching a time that as Christians, we are no longer ignorant people. We're not people who are in need of an education. He said, but we are bad people, people who need to be punished and corrected for our beliefs. You see, church, a long time ago, we were considered to be ignorant people, people who should be pitied because we believed in what the world would say is fairy tales, what the world would say are just good stories written by some good men a long, long time ago. But now, as times have changed, we are no longer people to be pitied, but we are bad people because of what we believe about Scripture. That we believe that the Bible is the absolute truth, that there is a God who will punish us for our sins, and that He gave us His Word, His holy, inerrant, inspired Word that is to be the rule of our life. He gave us His Word so that we would understand what sin is. That gives us the ways that we should live in our life. He tells us who should be married and who should not. He tells us that we shouldn't use profanity, that we are not to be engaged in drunkenness, that we should not be engaged in pornography or sex outside of marriage. He gives us a word that helps us to rule our life that will bring Him glory. And just so you don't think I'm picking on particular sins, there's all kinds of sins that you can go look through Scripture and find. Just go read the book of Galatians and you can see pride and jealousy and envy and anger and slander and all these different things. We have the Bible so that we might bring God the glory, so that we can sing, as we heard this morning, to God be the glory. And so here we are, we find ourselves in a time when the world no longer sees us as ignorant people, but pitied people, or pitied people, but we are vile people in need of eradication. As Christians, we must expect that this life is not going to be easy. That it will get harder. And my friends, that is the bad news this morning. But there is good news. I want you to have a hope this morning, because as the passage that you're reading in through there, if your Bible has headings above it, you probably see a living hope. As what it's titled, there's reasons to be joyful this morning. There's a reason for us that as Christians that we know that all is not lost. It is, as the old hymn says, right? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. And then he goes on, he says what? He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Folks, that is the good news of the gospel this morning. Jesus Christ is alive today. And we may be people that are persecuted and prosecuted, but we have a joy and a hope, a living hope in Jesus Christ. The big idea I want you to take away from our text this morning is as Christians, no matter what the situation we face in life, we have a hope and a joy that calls us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the rest of the unbelieving world. And so we're reminded by Peter of three things here in this text. Three things I want to come across for you in the first part of this letter. First is, I want you to see what salvation brings to us, to the believers. First, salvation brings hope. Salvation brings joy. And salvation brings privilege. Salvation brings hope, joy, and privilege. Let's look at the first part, that salvation brings hope. I want you to notice first that Peter starts with a blessing from God and not the blessing of man. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Peter's subtle reminder to us that your salvation is from God and not of yourself. It's as Paul teaches in Ephesians, it's the free gift of God, lest anyone should boast. That should make us excited as Christians. We should be joyful that our salvation no longer depends upon us or anything that we can do. It is a free gift of God. Thank goodness, Lord, that you are the one that's in control. God, if he so chose, he could have, when Adam and Eve sinned, he could have wiped out the rest of the world. He could have said, I'm done with you right then and there. I'm not going to deal with this rebellion anymore. I'm going to get rid of humanity. But God in his infinite mercy said, I have a plan and I've known this plan from the very beginning. I am going to send my son to come and die on a cross for them. And that should bring us hope and joy. The text tells us God in his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Church, we have a living hope. We have a living hope in Christ Jesus. He's not dead. He's not in the tombs. The disciples did not steal his body. He's alive and he's sitting on the throne of heaven. And the text, and it says next that he has given us this inheritance. When we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we're brought into the family. We're no longer exiles and enemies of God and that those who are separated from God, living against God. But now we're adopted sons and daughters, brought into the fold, given the same standings of those who are already in the family. My youngest son, the one who's 11, is adopted. We adopted him 6 years ago from China. We went over we flew to China. We spent 17 days in country. We got to see just about the entire country of China while we were there. We flew into the northern part and it wasn't Shanghai. I'm trying to remember the city. But we flew to the northern part. Then we come to the middle of the city in a town called Zhengzhou, in the middle of the country. And then we ended down near Hong Kong. I tell people it would be like flying up into Maine, coming to Kentucky, and winding up at Miami. And we went in March and had to dress for all three seasons while we were there. But we went over to China, got our youngest son, signed the papers on the dotted line. And when we signed the papers and said, this is our son, this is the one that we're going to bring into the fold, he holds the same inheritance that my two biological sons have. He is the same. He became their brother. He became our son. And he holds the same standing in everyone else's eyes. And that's a joy. That's a joy for him. That's a joy for us. And so here when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he gave us the same inheritance that we have, this blessed hope of salvation, that we too will rise from the dead and we will spend eternity with God. We get to worship at the throne. I can't wait for the day that I get to go and bow before the throne and get on my knees and bow before my Lord and Savior and worship with all the rest of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell people all the time when I get to do a funeral, I know that one day I will stand at the throne and I will worship with the brother or sister who has passed away. And they say, well, how do you know there's going to be millions and millions of people there? How do you know you're going to get to stand shoulder to shoulder? I say, because I got all of eternity to find them. I know that every brother and sister in Christ that I know here on this earth, one day I'll worship at the throne with them, because we'll get to spend all eternity worshiping there together. It's exciting. It's a glorious hope. It's what I look forward to. And this inheritance that we have, I want you to look at this inheritance and what Peter says about it. He says there in verse 4, he says, and into an inheritance that is imperishable. It's enduring. We lose sometimes the words in the English language. Sometimes we don't think enough about what we say or how we say it. We just kind of spout off at the mouth as Americans. And yet we need to sometimes step back and look. When he says it's imperishable, like, it's enduring. It's enduring forever. It doesn't stop. There's no time limit on it. It's not like the potatoes that I threw out of my house this morning that were stinking because there was a time limit on them, right? I walked through the kitchen. I was like, man, what is that? I got to look, and there was a potato in the bottom of the bag, and it was all mushy. It was perishable. Our salvation's not like that. It's imperishable, right? It endures forever. There's no expiration date on it. He says it's undefiled. It is not made corrupt. It is not impure or unclean. It's untainted, uncorrupted. Even though we're sinful people, even though our righteousness is as filthy rags, Jesus Christ took on your sin and paid the penalty of your sin. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And our status in heaven is secured by the precious blood of Christ, and it is unfading. Right? We're brought into this inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It does not lose its value or effectiveness. Praise God, the effectiveness is not dependent upon you or me. Jesus' blood does not fade. It's as precious as it was 2,000 years ago. It'll be as precious in 2,000 years or 200,000 years. It is precious. I love old hymns. I think they're great. I love our new hymns too. Don't get it twisted on me, okay? I'm not saying we should abandon either one of those. But I keep thinking about this one. It says, there is a fountain, right? Y'all know that song? In the third verse of that hymn, says, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The precious blood of Jesus Christ shall never lose its power. It is unfading. And your salvation is kept for you in heaven. You're brought into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. It's locked up more secure than Fort Knox. All right, it's where Jesus has told you to store up your treasure, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Right, this is where your heaven, nobody can take it from you. And because of that, because of this hope, it brings us joy. Salvation brings joy. You rejoice in this. Now here's the funny part about this text. Anybody love to rejoice in suffering? I just want to suffer today so I can be happy. Most of the time I'm going, Lord, please take this away from me. It's a thorn inside. My kids are killing me. Just a little more suffering today, Father. Lord, let them do something not smart and bring me problems and grief. Right? But the text says you rejoice in this even though for now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. Sometimes when we face different trials in our life, those trials bring about fear. They bring about a lot of fear of the what ifs and the unknowns, and we play all kinds of scenarios in our head. But when it comes to the trials that are in our life and the fear that often accompanies them, the Scripture tells us that we are to fear not. That we are to rejoice in knowing that Jesus has given us a new birth, that even though for a short time we suffer these griefs and various trials, we know and we rejoice because we know the one who is in control. We rejoice in these trials and the sufferings that come our way because we know that if they're Jesus in control, they will be for our benefit and for His glory. Amen? Hear that again. When trials and sufferings come our way, they will be for our benefit and for His glory. Jeff Ord, I don't know if you know that name or not. He was the president of Gateway Seminary out in California. He's now the executive director for the Southern Baptist Convention. And he talks about having fear in your life and how you should address fear in your life. And I want to give you five actions that are his. And the first thing he says is that you need to be saved when it comes to fear in your life. Like if you're fearful and you got things going on, maybe the issue is you need to be saved. Right? Salvation in Jesus Christ is foundational to overcoming fear. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The problem when you're not saved and you're addressing fear in your life, you think you're in control. But when you're saved, you realize, God, you're in control. Your best is way better than my best. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. God, you're in control. And though this stinks, like this is a terrible situation, it's not easy. Lord, I recognize that, like this is hard. What I do recognize is that you're still in control. And that you're going to be brought glory. Second thing he says is practice God's presence. God is your Father. He will always be with you. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. You can walk through any trial and any tribulation that's in your life because you know that the God, the creator of the universe, is your Father and walks alongside you. He says, confront fear with truth. The way we do this so often is by memorizing key Bible verses. If you are not studying and memorizing your Bible, you are missing out on the greatest weapon and benefit that God has provided you when it comes to fear in your life. There are so many times that when you are in the midst of something, that if you memorize Scripture, if you take a little bit. Now look, I get it. It's not easy. I once had a deacon tell me, he was an older gentleman. And he said, I read the Bible once, I didn't understand it. And I didn't read it again. I said, brother, you need to read it some more. You need to understand what Scripture teaches. You need to understand how Scripture speaks into the different situations in your life. You need to understand how to respond. And the only way we understand that is by knowing and studying and reading Scripture. Memorize these verses so that when Satan comes at you and tries to tell you some lie, you can say, that's a lie because God's Word says this. Because when you know the truth will set you free. Fourthly, he says, pray hard. Look, short prayers are beneficial. I spend much of my day in what I call popcorn prayers. Situation arises, somebody calls me and says, hey, Brother David, we got this going on in my life, in my church, in my business, in my family, whatever it may be. Can you just say a prayer for us? Get a text message all the time? Absolutely. We stop, we do a 1 minute, 2 minute prayer. Lord, just be with them. Here's the situation. You know what it is. But Lord, just give them the strength, the wisdom to endure. I spend a lot of time in popcorn prayers. But here's the other thing that is so much important that we have to understand is not only do we need to spend a lot of time in popcorn prayers and praying continuously to pray without ceasing, but there are times when our prayers should be prolonged and over time because the situations that we are in are also prolonged and over time. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. The text there in Psalm 134 or in 34 says, I sought the Lord. This is a pursuit. Like when you go back and you look at the Hebrew text and what they're trying to convey, it's the I sought, I went after, I pursued with everything that was in me. I was after the Lord, and guess what? I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. See, when you pursue the Lord, when you begin to have an understanding of the Lord, when you begin to have the Lord to change your mind and your will to his mind and his will, you begin to understand and you see things in a totally different light. And he delivers you from the fears. Lord, I don't have a reason to fear about that. What can they do? Kill me? They may have control over my body. Lord, you have control over my soul. And so the Lord delivers you from all your fears. So pray, pray hard, pray prolonged, pray over time, pray continuously, pray without ceasing. And then take action in faith. There's a fifth thing Brother Jeff says. He says, take action in faith. Just because you're fearful does not mean you are to be still. There are times when we get into a situation where we get fearful and what we do is we freeze. Maybe you're alone in the dark. You don't know where to go. You don't want to take a step forward. I don't know what's beyond that. It's dark. There's a shadow over there. And yet, that's much more in life. There are times when we don't know what to do or how, where to step or the next step to take. And so we get fearful and we step and we freeze. And we fail to move out in our faith. But James tells us that faith without works is dead. Like we're to continue to move, and Lord, I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to continue to do the things you called me to do. I see what your word tells me, how I'm to love my neighbors. I see how I'm to proclaim the good news. I see how that I am to be an influence in my community. Lord, I see all these different things, and I know that if I take an actionable step, Lord, there may be trials that come my way, but I'm going to take action in faith. I'm going to pursue you. Look what Peter says here in verse 7 of 1 Peter. He says, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we go through trials and suffering for Christ, we get to rejoice because we are working out our faith, because it brings praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Charles Simeon was a pastor in the late 1780s, early 1800s. And he talked about those who are working out their faith. And he says, certain it is, listen to what he says. He says, certain it is that the saints whom God has most approved has been most abundantly exercised in different manners for the trial of their faith. And they who are most earnest in prayer for the grace are most often afflicted because of the graces for which they prayed for. Faith, hope, patience, humility, and the like are all only to be wrought in us by means of those trials which call for several graces into an act and exercise. And the very exercise of them, they are all strengthened and confirmed. Like, in other words, let me just break that down for you. Simeon says, be careful what you pray for. Like, you want patience? Be careful. You ask for patience, God's going to give you a chance to be patient. My oldest son told me that, I guess it was while we were on vacation, he was in his room because we were where we were staying, they had to stay in bunk beds. And so he was on the bottom bunk, and he said, Dad, I was in my room, and I was praying, and I was just asking God, Lord, just help me. Like, any if you know any 15-year-old today that's around other kids and in public school and all those things, there's lots of trials and temptations. He said, Dad, I just want to make sure that my tongue is right, that I'm not using language that would bring, just any dishonor to God. And he said, so I was just praying, Lord, just help me with my tongue and let me to say honorable things. And he said, Dad, I kid you not, as soon as I got up from my prayers, I sat up and I whacked my head right on the bunk bed. Said he gave you a quick chance to exercise it, didn't he? I'm not telling you don't pray for those things. We need to pray for humility and hope and patience. And we need to be careful what we pray for. But let me tell you, let's look at what Peter continues to say here in the verse. He says, your proven character, these good things which you're praying for and asking for, your proven character is of your faith is more valuable than gold. It's more valuable because Jesus paid for it by the blood, with his blood, right? It was paid for by the blood of Christ. But your character, as it's being refined and through these various trials, they are for a reason. They are not for no reason. They're not just to give you a hard time. The reason why you go through these things is so that you can bring praise and glory and honor to God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, he says, that is mine. Look at how he lived his lifestyle. When you die and you go before the throne, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. The reason why you go through these trials is so that you bring him glory. And that brings us all kinds of joy. God, please bring the rain if it's going to bring you praise. It's exciting, folks. It's not easy. It is exciting. You want to be able to say on the last day, Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And it was not by my power, but it was by your grace that I was able to do anything. You want to be like Paul. In Acts 20, he says, I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify about what? About all the hard work that he's been through and all the trials that he's got and all the issues that's going on in his life. No, he says, I want to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And Lord, I realize that my salvation brings a privilege. Look at verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time and what the circumstances of the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. Church, while the gospel is for you, it's not just for you. It's for you to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10, concerning this salvation. Look at what it says about the grace that would come to you, right? The prophets, they searched. And they carefully investigated. They inquired into what time and the circumstances of the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. When he, that is the Spirit of Christ, testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. These prophets, they understood that they were not just serving themselves, but they were serving those who would come after them, those who would call Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Church, when I say it's a privilege to know about this salvation, I mean it's a privilege in two ways. I want to give you a couple of Webster definitions. I told you words are important. And Webster's dictionary says that when it comes to a privilege, it says it's a right or an immunity granted as a particular or a peculiar benefit, advantage, or favor. Church, your salvation through Jesus Christ, right? You have been given an immunity from your sins and when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You've been granted a peculiar benefit, wouldn't you say? Right? Although you deserve to spend eternity in hell paying for your sins, God, by His mercy and His grace, has granted you freedom from your sins. And you get to spend eternity with Him in heaven. You get to walk the streets of gold. You get to see the sea of glass. You get to see the room that was prepared for you. You get to bow before the throne. You get to see the thunder and the lightning and the robe that fills the temple and the smoke that comes up. You get to hear the 24 elders bow down. You get to hear all the tongues from all the tribes and all the nations. You get to join in a new song. You get to praise Jesus for the sacrifice that He made upon the cross. That is a peculiar benefit. But Webster goes on and says that a privilege can also be defined by a prerogative, an exclusive or special right, a power or privilege, such as one who belongs to an office or an official body, one who belongs to a person or group, a class of individuals, one who is possessed by a nation as an attribute of sovereignty. Let's look at those three. Right, a special office or body. You, when you surrender to Jesus Christ, you are now part of a royal priesthood of believers. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are, the second one was one belonging to a person, right? You belong to Christ. You belong to a group. You are now sons and daughters. You're part of the family. You are a class of individuals. You are now a saint or a new creation, however you want to say that. And you are one possessed by a nation as an attribute of sovereignty. You're not just part of a nation, you're part of a kingdom. The kingdom of God by His sovereignty. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you no longer stand condemned, but you stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And right, and you can sing with all your might, redeem how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. I told you I love the old songs. Let me tell you, church, if you can't sing it, this morning, if you can't sing that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you know that you were to die today and spend eternity separated from God, paying for the penalty of your sins, why don't you come this morning as we close? I'll be down front. I'd be more than happy to talk to you. I'm sure one of the other leaders here would love to talk to you about that. I'm sure that the person that brought you today, if they know Jesus as Lord and Savior, would love to talk to you about how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As we get ready to leave this place this morning, as you get ready to go home, I want you to think about these four questions. Let me just ask you, what or who are you placing your trust in good times or bad? Is it Jesus Christ or is it yourself? Knowing your inheritance, how are you going to live differently moving forward today? Knowing that you have an inheritance that's imperishable, infallible, how will you live differently moving forward? As a believer, how are you responding to the trials and sufferings that are in your life? And finally, how are you exercising your privileges as Christians? We all have a privilege. We have the privilege of telling others about the salvation that we have found and that they can have through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to gather together to worship this morning. Lord, to be encouraged by Your word. Lord, to know that we have a hope, a living hope in Jesus Christ, Lord, who sits upon the throne, who rules over everything. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity that You have given us. Lord, that you chose in Your infinite wisdom to not remove us from this world when we place our faith and trust in You, but Lord, that You left us here to proclaim the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, of how You're working in our own lives. Lord, I pray this morning that You help us to understand the privilege that we have as Christians. Lord, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Lord, to stand firm upon Your word. Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to serve You, to be a part of the work that You're doing. Father, to even suffer for You. Lord, that you're constantly molding us and making us into your image. And Father, that we go through trials and tribulations, Lord, not just to randomly go through issues. But Father, we go through these times, Father, so that we can be molded into your image, so that we can display your glory to the rest of the world. So that when others who are going through the same thing, who don't know you, and they ask, how do you seem to be doing okay? We can say, I'm only okay by the blood of Jesus Christ, who's the Lord of my life. And that we can tell them too that they can find the same peace in Jesus. Father, I just pray for this congregation here today, Lord. Bring them peace. Bring them hope. Father, help them to understand that trying times are not for nothing, but Lord, they're for your glory. And may they be an impact and a light in this community here. May they share and tell the world of Jesus Christ. And it's his name we do pray. Amen.